It drove all the way to the supercharger, zero interventions. It did the entire drive through Berkeley, zero interventions. It drove me all the way home with zero interventions. I tried it in a drive through, and it literally waited for the guy to take my order before moving up in line. And I was like, oh my God. It noticed something that I had no idea what was going on behind me and got us out of harm's way. I think version 13 has accelerated that even further. It feels alive. It truly feels more alive than any other version that I've ever tested. It's clear as day with the moves the car is doing and the way it can be a more assertive driver while still being way safer than the average human just makes it something really special.
We really could be entering into a phase of just accelerated progress because we have all of the bottlenecks have been addressed.
Tesla AI, team no sleep, they knocked this one out of the park. And it's crazy to me that this is the first iteration of this new Cortex model at all. This is the first one. You know what I mean? This is the new baseline. It only gets better from here.
Sometimes days take years and sometimes years take days. Feels like we're about to enter that years take days phase.
Everything went so well that I was like, is this real life? Like, surely this cannot be how the car is. So I didn't want to release a video saying, oh, everything's perfect minus these little bugs. I actually wanted to push the limits and find out where I could really make it struggle, which is why I brought it to the Berkeley Hills, which is a very common place that I test almost every version on my channel over the years. And I've never been able to get out of there without at least two or three critical disengagements. There's always like a human honk somewhere, an accelerator override, all those things. But again, I went out there and did a drive until all of my cameras died and there was zero interventions. The only intervention that I had was when I accidentally navigated down somebody's private driveway and they were outside like, what are you doing here? And I had to stop and take over because it was too awkward. But other than that, like through the one of the worst places to drive where a lot of people don't even feel comfortable driving. And you can see that on my YouTube comments, like it handled everything perfectly. So I'm almost speechless in a way. But it's frustrating.
I'm gonna use that for the title. Thank you.
Yeah. It's frustrating because I want to come into this first impressions review video explaining where the limits are, because that's what I do every time is I tell you what it's good at and I tell you what it's bad at. But God, so far it's like, it's been unbelievable. And I feel like I don't have enough to say. Like I can only say how much better it is so many times, you know? And I, you know, I'm going to make a video and I'll post it. And I'm going to try to be as critical as possible. But God, the Tesla AI team has absolutely killed it. I think Elon's 500% or 6x improvement comment is likely correct. I think it's that or above, honestly. It's wild.
So Elon might actually know what he's talking about. It's an interesting opinion in the Tesla community right now. I can understand why you feel very uncomfortable saying that out loud in front of an audience.
Yeah, exactly. And I keep like, okay, you know, I'll bring it out this time and it's going to do some wild stuff and I'll be able to show the world, you know, like we're still not, but it hasn't happened. And it's like, the more I drive, the more I'm just like, what? And the other mysterious thing is my wife used it to commute to work the other day. And I was like, oh, so how'd you like version 13? She's like, oh yeah, that's good. I'm like, oh, you didn't really notice any difference? She's like, no, it's, you know, it's always been pretty smooth. I'm like, did you have any interventions? No. I was like, I feel crazy because the second I got in the car, I could tell it's just like the Tesla page said, it's like a new brain. It is a new driver inside the car, mm-hmm. which is something I can tell immediately. But every time that I'm seeing feedback from other drivers who aren't, who haven't been having the experience that I have, I feel like I'm missing a big part of the picture. You know what I mean?
But just to level set with the audience, this was a 4-hour long test. You've been testing this thing for 4 hours in your region.
Yeah. Correct? So basically the first night, and you're going to see clips from this drive, I went out to Concord, which is a pretty, you know, even at nighttime, that's still a pretty busy place. And I drove around in parking lots and a lot of other situations. And I had no critical interventions. I was intervening a lot, to be clear, because I was purposely putting the car into difficult situations where, like, we'd have a right turn ahead in like 0.1 miles, and I would take over and get all the way into the left-hand lane and be like, okay, like, what are you going to do now? And it freaking did it every time, man. Just sailed across and like just negotiates with the humans so well. There was somebody who didn't want to let us in, and it just waited for them to pass and fit in right behind them. Like, and the smoothness and the planning ahead is just so crazy.
Can you double click on that one for a second, JD? Because that was one of the things that it seems like I'm noticing, as far as I can tell in all the clips that I've watched, is that medium to long range planning seems like it's way better. And like, from my perspective, that medium to long range planning was one of the biggest problems with FSD V12. So tell us more about that from your perspective and your experience.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it's really tough, because the car feels like it can see better than ever. One of the comments my wife did say that she noticed was that it slows down on the freeway earlier, because there's sections of the freeway where everybody will get up to like 60 or 70 miles an hour, and then it's just a complete stop. And she always used to complain that it braked too late. And she says it's doing a much better job with that. The interesting thing is the visualizations look identical to version 12. So like, I can feel in the car that the car is seeing better than ever, but it doesn't really reflect on the visualizations. And I'm thinking now that the visualizations that we're seeing are probably completely disconnected from the actual driving of the car. I actually have a few examples of when we were sitting at a stoplight, and I look back at the recording, and the light will turn green, and you can see the path planner start accelerating forward before the visualization changes to a green light. So the car is literally making that decision to go forward before the visualization has a reflection of it. And you know how fast that happens. It's like, you know, very, very quick. But I have many examples of that. And I think through the entire night of driving, there wasn't one human who beat it off the line at a stoplight, which is pretty wild.
Wow. Okay. One of the things I've been really, I think all of us have been talking about this, truly, that follow this story closely, is that if you really think about artificial intelligence and its progress curve, it's going to feel like it's not making a lot of progress, and then at some point it will feel exponential, or it will hockey stick once the data and the compute really start to churn through vast amounts of data. And one of the sort of examples I've used in the past, which kind of loosely ties to this, is if you think about when computers beat humans at chess, they got really close for a long time, and then they blew past them. And then with Go, they were able to get very close to a human, and then they blew past them, right? So on it, we can come up with different examples as well. Hearing version 13 and experiencing V12, V11, V10 in my poor old Hardware 3 car, okay, I've not only felt but seen this sort of exponential progress curve start to really take off from a capability perspective, but also from a pace of improvement perspective, right? From V11 to V12 and V12 to V13, it looks like the jumps are getting bigger, and they're coming faster than ever. And it's a result of just throwing vast, and I say just very loosely, but relative to heuristics, human code, it's collecting massive amounts of data and throwing it at massive amounts of compute. Would you say that V13, based on the experience you have had so far, does it confirm that thesis? Does it loosely confirm it? Still up in the air? I would love to hear your thoughts.
For me, it's definitely confirmed that I think we're in the beginning of the AI S-curve related to self-driving. We obviously saw some of the biggest differences when version 12 initially released, and they've been kind of poking at it, making it better and better. But it's obvious that this retrain that happened on Cortex with all Hardware 4 data, and, you know, like, it's, I don't forget what they said, like 4.5 times the amount of data as the last model, is making a profound difference. And the craziest thing to me is usually with these very first releases, it does a lot of things better, but you're going back in a lot of other ways. You know what I mean? And that's what I was fully expecting that to be the case with version 13 as well. And like I said, there are some of those things, like it's dry wiping the windshield all the time. It seems to detect bad weather when there is no bad weather, a lot more than version 12 was doing. It's when it's in certain profiles, it won't reverse, et cetera, et cetera. But none of the issues that I've experienced have been related to driving performance. The driving performance is absolutely incredible. And I did not think they would be getting to this point. Like, this feels like a version 13 way down the line to me. You know what I mean? Minus those little small issues that I've been talking about. It's insane to me that this is the new base. Like, it's going to get better from here. That's the reason why I haven't released the video, and I've just been releasing these clips because, like, I don't know what to say. Like,
You're afraid to say that it's solved.
Yeah,
this is the beginning of the end.
Honestly, yeah, like the, yeah. As you were speaking, JD, usually what I do is I try to put on like down working titles for our videos, you know, podcasts and stuff, just to kind of, because, you know, freaking making a title for a video is one of the hardest things ever. And literally the working title is Tesla FSD V13 self-driving is finally solved. No hyperbole. I'm just like, I'm trying to be making a factual statement, right? Tell me why that's a hyperbolic statement.
I don't feel like I have enough miles to say that for sure, because I've had other versions.
Can I pause you for a second, JD? Because I think this is the challenge, but it is also a demonstration of the fact that it is in the process of being solved, because you've never needed this many miles to find the limits before. And this is what Elon said, is that the miles to critical interventions were going to grow, and it was going to take a lot longer to find where the problems are. And so now we actually have a real world example of what Tesla's internal team was already experiencing months ago. They told us that this was what they were struggling with, and no one believed them. And so now, like, we have
early indication,
indisputable evidence that this can in fact be the case with V13 driving in real customer cars on real roads in real traffic every day.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the miles that I've done so far have not been easy miles. They're stressful for the best of drivers. Like, I purposely took it to the hardest places I know how to drive. These places where there's, like, you know, a lot of pedestrians and cars around. There's like really tight corners where the car is going to have to, you know, like a lot of the parking lots I went into were in the dead of night, because I wanted to see if it was still be smooth when it's pitch black outside, if it could still, like, because it's basically just relying on those B pillar cameras to see the curbs and stuff. And it drove like it was in the daylight, like no sudden maneuver or harsh braking. Like, if the car went into the wrong lane and like was going into oncoming traffic, I'd love to show you, because I've done that in previous versions. I'd be like, okay, yeah, this is, you know, it's all there. Here's all these impressive things, but it's also still capable of this. But I didn't have one of those experiences where I could point out and like, oh yeah, this was a critical intervention. Like, and the day after that, I literally stayed up late. I made the video and I was like, I can't release this. There's no way. I'm probably wrong about all this, because I saw all the other feedback coming in about the problems people were having and the red hands to take over immediately. And I'm like, okay, I probably just got really lucky on that first drive. So I went to Berkeley the next day in the Berkeley Hills, the absolute stress test. It drove all the way to the supercharger, zero interventions. It did the entire drive through Berkeley, zero interventions. It drove me all the way home with zero interventions.
And it's parking, like, spot to parking spot, right? That's another thing too.
Well, so the end is a little sketchy. Sometimes it will actually back into a supercharger stall, and other times it will just stop at the end of the destination. So I literally have navigated to the same place twice. Like, there's a Target that's close to me that I go and supercharge at all the time. The first time I navigated there, I literally drove up to the front door, like in front of a crowded area, and shifted itself into park. And it's like, okay, we're here. You know what I mean? And that's obviously not what you're supposed to do. I navigated to the same point. It's the same navigation point on the map. And this time the car actually went and found a parking spot. So I wouldn't say that part's super reliable yet. But yeah, I think
they're at least gathering the data now when you to to be able to solve that part. Like, they didn't used to have any data in the data set of it doing it right sometimes and it doing it wrong sometimes. So now, yeah, now like it's within the scope and we're gathering the data at the beginning and end to now improve the reliability there as well.
And yeah, there's precedence, right? And there's precedence that that methodology is going to work because they've been able to do that with the actual driving of the car. And so now they're going to turn that flywheel for the arrival, you know, the last 100 feet and the first 50 feet, or, you know, I guess the first 10 feet is probably not that hard, but the last 50 to 100 feet is going to be probably their next thing. But they have, again, but they have nothing fundamental has to change. They just give it the data and they have, the more compute they have, the faster they can arrive to the finish line, right? It's,
yeah, yeah. This is a lot of what we were, this is a lot of what we were talking about before, you know, we were saying, we started seeing the car do all these crazy things. Like with version 12, I tried it in a drive-thru and it literally waited for the guy to take my order before moving up in line. And I was like, oh my God, you know what I mean? And it's just, this is just such a big extension for that because yeah, it's like, it knows what to do in all these situations. I told Farzad about this the first night, but when I came back, here's another great example. I was on the freeway and I was in standard mode. I've been using standard mode the entire time. I haven't changed it because I want to get a good baseline, but it was in the lane next to the fast lane, you know, and there was cars consistently passing me, which was fine. And then suddenly the car moved over to the far right edge of the lane. And I was like, what the heck? Because the car wasn't, you know, the car to our left wasn't getting anywhere close to me. And I had no idea why it did that, you know? And I thought I was going to be able to pull the Tesla cam footage and maybe it like detected something on the road or something, or maybe there was some glare that I could talk about. But what had actually happened is I looked in the side repeater camera and this van was swerving in its lane before it approached us. It was swerving. And then even though it was holding its lane, when it passed us like 5 or 10 seconds later, the car seemed to remember that this car was swerving and it moved to the side of the lane. Like, and I say those things and I don't want to tell you, like, is all these things that have happened to me could be absolute flukes. You know what I mean? And I don't want to just go out there and say like, oh, this is what it does, because I don't know for sure, but that happened. You know what I mean? Like, it noticed something that I had no idea what was going on behind me and like got us out of harm's way almost. Not sure if it did it on purpose. Like the release notes say that it still doesn't have that 3x context window. That is coming in a future update, but it's already doing stuff like this, which is wild.
Wow. Okay. So where, okay. I mean, oh my God. So this is the weird thing about this discussion, right? This is such a weird discussion because, again, many of us, when I say many of us that followed this story closely felt like this is a thing that will happen, right? We didn't know what it would feel like. We didn't know what it would look like. We didn't know in what context it would happen.
When it would finally happen.
When it would finally happen. But it feels like, again, more data has to come in. More people have to have V13. There needs to be regulatory approval, honestly. And, you know, it's funny I bring that up because with Trump now winning and Elon and Trump being, you know, best friends and the Trump wanting to appoint a new Secretary of Transportation that's going to prioritize federal regulation around self-driving technology. And now with V13 coming out, and we have getting a lot of visibility into the on-ramp, right? It's like, it's just, and I keep going back to this feeling. It feels like, although it's not completely finished, it's obvious that it will be, and it will be very soon, right? Especially with the ramp of compute, because Tesla's not done, they're not done buying chips. They're not done making the process more efficient. They're not done collecting data. I mean, it's to your point, it's just getting started. They're not done with their next generation hardwares. There's an AI 5 coming out and an AI 6 coming out, right? So this flywheel is going to keep churning ever faster and with more data, right? So, and this is early. I don't know. Like, we love playing guessing games here, right? So this is what we do. Does unsupervised, so meaning that, because this is really the last step before robotaxi, right? So we're in the current, we're like two steps before. Unsupervised is the next, well, there's two more steps. Unsupervised, then regulatory approval, right? Like those two steps need to happen. Well, actually, three. Unsupervised, enough data for regulatory approval, right? So where is unsupervised in your eyes based on your early look? Does it feel 2 years out? Does it feel 6 months out? I would love to hear your thoughts.
I've been pretty vocal. I've joined some spaces and talked about that before, especially a couple of years ago. I would have told you self-driving is at least 5 or 6 years away based on, version from, I've been beta testing since it originally came out. And up to version 12, my idea was like, there's just way too many of these weird corner cases that the car can't figure out because, it can't know what humans are about to do. It has to try to predict these things. And there's just too many edge cases in that sense. You know what I mean? So I thought that they might be able to solve it using that technique, but it was going to take a very, very long time to get it working. But version 12 has accelerated that tremendously for me, where I thought it might only take another 2 or 3 years. And, God, I hate to say this, but I think version 13 has accelerated that even further. I think they're going to be able to get it done by the end of the year. I think I will go on record saying that a driverless ride will happen this year after my experience with version 13. Maybe it's 25. Only one.
2025.
I'm sorry. Next year. The same timeline.
JD's from the future. Confirmed.
Yeah.
Within 12 months of today.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I almost feel like we're there already.
It's I know. It feels like 2025 already.
I'm going to wake up tomorrow and it'll be January. So, okay. I think a driverless ride will happen somewhere, at least one of them in 2025, at least on certain streets. I'm sure I'm sure there's issues with this software that I'm not aware of, and I'm doing my absolute best to figure out where they are. Right now it just feels like it really feels like something special. I don't know what else to say. Like there's so many moments that just blow my mind, and it happens so often. And it's like, there's, a lot of, when End-to-End came out on highway, you heard a lot of people saying like, oh, I wish the car would do this right now. And it just does it. You know what I mean? It's almost like it's reading their mind. That has now been extended to city streets, where I always have confidence that the car is going to be able to pull off these maneuvers when it like gets in the wrong lane and has to go over or whatever else. Like it's usually does a pretty good job, but now it does it with such confidence and such like conviction. It's just, it feels alive. It truly feels more alive than any other version that I've ever tested. And the craziest thing is, like, I always thought that they'd be able to get the safety part down, but the smoothness might be a reason why people aren't really ready for a robotaxi ride yet, because Waymo still struggles with this a lot. If a pedestrian does, looks at the car the wrong way, it will slam on the brakes. I went over there a few months ago and used the Waymo, and there was a dense intersection where the car was just trying to creep forward and there was just pedestrians everywhere, and it's like, very, very jerky. That can be very unsettling. A lot of people that I've given full self-driving rides to in the past, like my mom, for example, the car will do one awkward lane change, or it'll like shift over in an unexpected way on the freeway, and all trust is lost, right? Like right. once it does something that you're like the pit of your stomach was like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like the trust isn't there anymore. But I think this is the first version that I haven't had a single one of those experiences. Every move that it's done it intentionally. It's done it in a way that's not high G forces at all. Like even the way it accelerates, it'll accelerate a little slowly out of the gate and then ramp up like very, very smoothly. And the same thing with braking. It's like, it feels just like a really good limo driver, which is all I've ever wanted from self-driving. You know what I mean? And I feel like they've been able to accomplish the safety and the smoothness in one version, which it doesn't feel real, And that's why I keep going back and I'm like, all right, I'm going to find the limits today. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to, and then it doesn't happen. So obviously, there's issues. Don't get me wrong, but not for driving.
Well, I think I have a new good proxy for how close we are to solving FSD. It's the number of days from when JD gets his new version until when the video finally releases.
That might be a pretty
as
good
that
metric.
Number grows, then we are yeah. closer and closer.
If AI driver goes away, it's solved.
No, that's scary. I got a little project in the background that'll keep me relevant for at least another year or two. But
hell yeah, I love that, dude. That's man. I go back to like I just can't believe we're here. Okay, so let's think about this for a second. So we have. So the progress with V13 looks like it's going to put Tesla in a position to execute on. And by the way, I agree with your assessment of like 2025. I think I came out and I said like I think Tesla would give their first driverless ride that they collect the fare like June or July of 25 somewhere. Like I'm 6 months, you know, 6 months. Let's say earlier is what I came out and said. But if I miss it by 6 months, who cares? Like I mean, it's still insane, right? So they have this. Cheaper car coming out in the next 6 months. We still don't know what it is. I think it's just a compact car. By the way, I think it's a compact car with a joystick, and they're going to get that approved on the road as a drivable car. Because if you really think about it, if you're going to have a car that's going to drive itself and you only need to intervene one time out of, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000 miles to start, why do you need an entire steering wheel system and pedal system? Just have a joystick to just get you out of the situation. That's super easy. You don't even have to take it out. Just plop it in there. It's like a $1 part at maximum. And then that becomes your thing for your robotaxi fleet as well. I don't know, whatever. It doesn't, anyway. So that's coming out soon, right?
I just then, love that you're so willing to look so stupid.
Thank you. Listen, if I feel something in my bones, I got to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. I got it. Why do you think the joystick is stupid?
No, I don't know if it is or not. It's just like a wild prediction.
It's still out there.
So yeah, it will appear stupid unless it comes true, in which case you'll be able to come back and be like, ha-ha.
But think about it from first principles, right? Think about it from a first principles perspective. Okay, if you have a car, so why is the steering wheel and pedal system a good system? It's because for somebody that needs to interface with the car all the time, it's the best way to put in an input that people are used to, right? But if now you're selling a car where 99.99% of the time, 99.999% of the time, you're not going to expect it to put in an input. And then when you're doing an input, it's just getting it out of a sticky situation or taking over it and doing a very quick maneuver, okay? Why carry all that extra load and all that extra cost for that one very specific situation every once in a while, maybe like once a year? It makes no sense. And there is no regulations that say you have to have steering wheels and you have to have a braking pedal and 100%. 100%.
That's so weird that we haven't already, just like thinking about the fact
that's why
that
handicap cars are allowed.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess why don't we have cars that you can steer?
Legacy? You expect Legacy Auto to make such a.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like there's nothing that's actually more ergonomic. You know, fighter pilots have to fly jets for marathon. Like you can be in the cockpit for 12 to 18 hours if you have to fly across the world and you're just, you know, going from tanker to tanker to tanker. And the whole time, you know, you're just either on autopilot or using your joystick. So. Yeah. Yeah, I don't 100%. Know why we couldn't do that in automotive.
And that's and so I was looking on this while I was on my Thanksgiving break. I was looking into like, okay, now with V13, that, you know, when the news broke that it came out, I was like, okay, so what does this mean if you have a car? Like, again, like my conundrum is I'm trying to figure out what the hell this cheaper car is, and I'm trying to figure out why Tesla is showing this compact car so early and why they have it everywhere. I'm like, this makes, why are you hyping this up so far ahead of time? When is the last time Tesla has done this, truly, where they've hyped this long away, far away product that they're like, this is not going to have a steering wheel and pedal. Well, let's set that aside. Set that one aside. That's my confusion. You know, they have like 20 of them already. Like they have a testing already in Texas. I really think that they are if there's a company that's going to come out with a brand new way to interface with a car, it's Tesla. And if you're thinking about, like, V13 to me is a confirmation that they're extremely confident that by the middle to end of next year, if somebody doesn't want to drive in their Tesla, they won't have to. And if they don't have to, why do you put a steering wheel and pedal in there when you can just have a fucking joystick? It makes, or just do it on the screen or something, right? So I really think, I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going with this, but it's like, I really think Tesla is going to come out with the compact car, this cyber cab. That's their new car. That is their new car next year. And it's because of V13. Because they're going to be able to say it doesn't have a steering wheel and pedal, and they're going to sell it as a drivable car without a steering wheel and pedal, but with a joystick instead. And that's going to blow freaking people's minds. They're going to be like, well, I want a steering wheel and pedal on my Tesla. Okay, buy a Model 3. I want 4 seats. Buy a Model 3. I want to carry my kids. Buy a Model Y. You know? You don't want any of those. You just want to get from point A to point B, pennies on the dollar. You don't want to have to drive. Okay, buy a CyberCab with a joystick, which will be all the cyber cabs. And then when you're at the point where it's unsupervised or where it's level 4 or 5, where people, like by law, they can't interface with the car, disable the joystick. Just turn it off. The $1 part. You already have, it's already brake by wire. It's already electronically controlled. It's already drive by wire on the accelerator. Tesla just came out with steer by wire on their Cybertruck. Gee, I wonder if they can implement that in the CyberCab. As soon as you do that, it's an electronic input. Just throw it to the joystick. And then when it's, you don't need to do it, just disable it. Just turn off the, anyway. How crazy do I sound? Tell me, please.
It actually makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, I've been somewhat skeptical of the idea that the new models in 2025 that are supposed to be built on the same lines as the current Model 3 and Model Y, we're going to be super close to what they've shown us the CyberCab is going to look like. But I think the argument that you're making sounds very much like Tesla, and I wouldn't be surprised.
JD,
no,
my fellow Tesla brother.
Yeah, when you first said that, I just thought it was such a wild idea. But I after talking that through, I really think it makes a lot of sense, especially if they can get the CyberCab out to people. And it doesn't even, like, that would make it so that you could, even if you live somewhere crazy, and the car only is able to autonomously pull up to, like, your driveway, and it's not able to actually get in, that would allow you to actually own that car and be able to get it, like, in and out of your garage and stuff. And that's a pretty wild thought. It really is. I haven't really thought about that before, but it doesn't really. I think they've officially said that it's not going to have a steering wheel, but that doesn't mean it's not going to have some other manual controls.
Yep.
Right.
And it also fits with the Reuters report where they canceled that one model of the compact vehicle that did have the steering wheel and pedals. It's like, well, yeah, if you decided you're going to make a compact vehicle that you are going to be able to control with a joystick instead of with steering wheel and pedals, then of course you're going to cancel the version that has the steering wheel and pedals, and all of the suppliers that were bidding to give you steering wheel and pedals parts are going to get the shaft. But, like,
literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I told everybody this, I've quadrupled my short position on steering wheel since version 13 came out.
Oh my God. And again, I go back to this, like, to this weird proposition that Tesla's in, given that they are going to solve self-driving very obviously, right? I mean, to me, this discussion and the people that follow Tesla closely, it appears very obvious that they will solve self-driving. And they have released their product that's going to be the majority share take rate of those self-driving miles, which is a 2-person CyberCab, okay? And they're saying they're going to get to volume production by 2026, which is at least 2 million units per year. But the regulations in basically the entire world will not allow you to get to 2 million unit run rate anywhere close for probably a decade or more, potentially, right? It's going to be a long, long, long pathway. So what do you do in the meantime? You make it drivable. You sell the same exact car. You get your value, your volumes up, right? So that you can actually have a volume capacity of 2 million units per year by 2026. We all know how expensive manufacturing is. Tesla would be the dumbest company in the world if they're willing to make 2 million of these per year by 2026, fully expecting to sell these into markets where they approve self-driving. That's impossible. Like, that's just not the reality that they're in. But they're, if people can actually drive it, even if it's one time per year with a joystick, then all of a sudden you are front-loading the supply of truly driverless vehicles years before they're approved everywhere. And Tesla's making money on them.
Well, and let's take it one step further. If you are taking out the steering wheel and pedals and you want to minimize the amount of input that is going into the joystick, you could potentially also make it mandatory that they are subscribed to FSD.
Right.
As part of the purchase agreement.
Or build it into the cost of the car. Do something. You know? 100%. It's like 100%. And listen, and they could come out with a thing where the joystick is just better than a steering wheel and pedal. Like, we don't know that. You know, they could come out with a very, very like a super advanced way of moving the car backwards, forwards. We're just used to doing this. And, you know, like, if you really think about it, like using like both arms and both legs. Well, if you're driving stick, you're not supposed to use both legs if you have an automatic car. But if you do, I do that sometimes anyway. But instead of using all four arms to drive, you just use your hand to drive, right? Like, you're telling me the company that didn't has figured out how to completely transform the UI of a vehicle, and they've gotten rid of blinkers and the shift in stock, they're not going to take it one step further and just move everything to a joystick and just, you know, put like two buttons for left and right and just automate the rest of it, you know, just automate the windshield, just everything else on the screen. And you don't have to mess with the seating position. You don't have to mess with the dash. You don't have to mess with any regulations around the again, you're going to steer by wire, so you're not going to have the shaft connecting the steering wheel to the wheels, right? It's like, it allows you to keep absolutely everything about the Cybercab when it's ready to be a fully autonomous system, and you can sell it now. And anybody can buy it, right? It's nothing is upholding it. It's a risky proposition. It's a risky proposition to say, hey, I'm going to transform the way you interface with a car when it comes to driving it. But that goes away when the product drives itself, even if it's supervised. Because if you're just watching it drive itself for 10,000 miles, but you're still technically responsible for it. I fucking love this company so much. God damn it. They better put that fucking joystick.
I'm gonna look like such an idiot. No, it really is. It really is a great idea. I think everybody's biggest concern. I think we had discussions when version 12 originally came out, like, okay, now it's just a matter of data collection and, you know, making it better to get to truly autonomous. And the big question is, like, are they going to hit some kind of like plateau? Is progress going to be stopped in any way? Because what we've seen from version 12, it's like, okay, if they keep this amount of progress up, we could probably have self-driving next year. But that's a big ask, especially, you know, when you read all the reports saying it's basically impossible and, you know, you can feed all the data you want, it's never going to get better. But I think version 13, once it goes wide and people get to experience it for themselves, I think this is going to be the version that makes people realize, like, oh, okay, yeah, this was the right solution all along. It's clear as day, you know, with the moves the car is doing, and the way it can be a more assertive driver while still being way safer than the average human, just makes it something really special. Like I mentioned, version 12. 12.5 was the first one where I was like, okay, this is smoother than the majority of Ubers that I've ever been in. You know, this is way more comfortable because I'm a terrible backseat passenger when it comes to Uber and they're all, you know, doing these crazy things. This new version, this is smoother than any Uber I've ever had, like considerably smoother, not even by like a little margin. It's by a long shot. I feel way more confident in the car's abilities than I do about the average Uber driver. And I'm sure there's, you know, I've only had it for a couple days. I'm sure there's things that I'm missing. But so far on my few hundred miles, man, it's clear as day to me what's about to happen.
So have y'all seen the tweets by Yunta Tsai on the way that the system was kind of re-architected from the ground up?
I think I did, but please share with the, this is a Tesla engineer on the AI team, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's actually been one of the engineers who's shared a lot of kind of like information that at least I find to be highly interesting. And so the first tweet, he's saying, insane product push on the week of my birthday, which was the Thanksgiving week. We refactored the entire system to drastically simplify the pipeline, direct photons to control, yet providing a lot more functionality under the same, I'm going to think that's supposed to say unified framework. And then he goes into a bunch of like nitty gritty details, which I think are interesting, but I don't think the most of the audience will probably care about. So then John Krause asks, is this a bigger leap technically and experientially than V11 to V12? And he said the first two, and I think it's supposed to be years, we deleted the image processing and tuning that was, and that first 2 years is referring to, he talked about this whole process of moving to photons in controls out has taken 4 years total. So he said the first 2 years we deleted image processing and tuning that has nothing to do with the information. And then the last 2 years we simplified the control stack to make it more human-like. And finally, we can clean up what's left. He said V13. So I'm assuming that's what like version 12 was getting us real close. And then V13 is like Raptor engine V3, which implies that version 12 was more like Raptor engine V2 potentially. And then Elon Musk replied to that exactly. So, yeah, this was what I was curious if y'all had seen and what your reaction to that was.
I mean, I think my takeaway is this lines up perfectly with what we've talked about, which is making it feel extremely human-like, right? Making it feel like it's almost reading your mind or it's doing exactly what you expect it to do in almost every situation, let's say. I love how their methodology aligns with the whole premise of just simplify, just remove all the crap and just go as simple as can be and just make the AI do its thing. Just get out of the AI's way. That's the way I'm reading what Tesla has had to do for the last 2 years, like as they move from heuristics to neural nets. Just get out of the AI's way. Just let the AI figure it out, and then we'll just interpret what the AI is doing. So that's my takeaway. What's yours, JD? He's just stunned. Speechless. Yeah, it's over. It's done.
It's really tough. I didn't expect it, you know? I completely agree with everything that he said. It feels so different. That's why, you know, like I said, I'm having a hard time getting this video out because I feel like I don't know it well enough. I don't know well enough to like explain it in a way that
it's not that you don't know it
before.
Because you do know it. It's just that you don't know where the limits are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what to expect most of the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And obviously, you know, if you look at those Raptor engines, you know, version 3 of the engine is so simple. And I look at that and I go, like, why didn't they just build it like that the first time? But like, huge engineering effort goes into making something complicated so small and eloquent. And I feel like that's probably what's done with version 13. Especially like the thing that was kind of odd for me is I was expecting new visuals, or at least, you know, the visuals to change a little bit, like if the car can see better now that it's trained on Hardware 4 data. But none of that changed. I feel like the visuals are just for us now to feel more comfortable with what the car is doing. I think they're completely disconnected. Yeah. I really wish I had more to say. Like if it doesn't feel real.
I mean, that's the best possible outcome. I feel like Hans is here sharing a picture of the Raptor 1, yeah, Raptor 2, and Raptor 3.
There's version 13 right there.
Crazy. That's so beautiful. I feel like if you're autistic, this is like porn. You're looking at it like, oh my God, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's so sexy.
It really is. Yeah, and that's what they've done with self-driving. And like I said, I think once it rolls out wide, I think it'll become very, very clear, and there won't be much of an argument anymore of like, if Tesla is going to solve self-driving, the argument now will become when. And who knows, it might not happen next year, you know, they could run into some issues or whatever that I'm not seeing, but I think the argument is going to drastically shift to from where like, oh yeah, a vision approach is not possible, you need LiDAR, the B pillar cameras aren't in the right spot, blah blah blah. It'll be more of like, okay, when now? When is it to the level of drastically safer than the average human? I think that'll be the new question going forward.
I think one of the things that I'm most excited about right now is the fact that we've heard that version 13 was trained entirely on Cortex, which implies that the maximum amount of training that could have gone into the core V13 model is a couple of months. And so like, it took us a long time to build up enough training capacity to even train version 12.
Wow.
And if, you know, now we've got our whatever 60, 70,000 H100s that are able to do this, and they can crank out a model of the quality of V13 in a couple of months, and we're going to get another 50, 60, 70, 100,000 H100 equivalents sometimes over the next 12 months. And like, they're already training a new next version 13 core model, like now, that we really could be entering into a phase of just accelerated progress. Because we have all of the bottlenecks have been addressed, assuming that, like, I think to JD's point now, like, we're really seeing that validation piece does become really hard when you're struggling so much to find the limit, find the areas where it breaks, find the flaws, then that ends up becoming the new bottleneck. And so it'll be curious to see how Tesla and Elon solve that problem specifically, but we're at least in a stage where the progress is faster than it was during V12. And like, think about how much progress we have experienced just this year. Like, at the beginning of this year, we were all still on version 11. And then you and a couple other people got version 12 like early on in the year, but it still didn't go out to anybody for so long. And then if we see, like, most people are saying that version 13 is already almost ready for wide release, so if they can go from the AI drivers and the Omars and the Chuck Cooks having access to v13.2 to wide release in less than a month, that will already be a dramatic acceleration compared to when they first launched version 12. And so I think it just, all the data points right now are lining up towards a faster pace of progress, which is why people are pulling in these estimates about when are we actually going to have it like all the way fully solved so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, honestly, I feel like, I know the dry wiping of the windshield pisses a lot of people off. Like, I see the comments on that, and a lot of people really hate it. But like, once they fix that, I think it's already ready for wide release. It is so much better than the best version of version 12. It is quite ridiculous. I was not expecting that at all. Yeah. You can tell, like, yeah, Tesla AI team, no sleep. They knocked this one out of the park. And it's crazy to me that this is the first iteration of this new Cortex model and all this. This is the first one. You know what I mean? This is the new baseline. It only gets better from here. And man, just some of the cars or some of the situations that I put the car into where I'm like, aha, I got you this time. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do here? And it's just like, oh, this is, you know, 10 point turn. It's like, there's been a few.
I got your reference on that tweet. I don't think many other people did. I had to explain it to Herbert this morning.
Really? Yeah. Full on Austin Powers mode, man. And like, people were saying like, oh, we should go over the curb. It shouldn't, like, all the complaints that I've seen so far in the comments are about the style of driving. The entire feedback of FSD has switched to, like, oh, this is what it can't do. This is what and I would have done this, and I'd put my wheels here, and blah blah blah. Like, the car's doing it itself. It did it just fine. But it's like, it's just crazy. And it was like overnight. That's the craziest part. Like, it just, we woke up one day and all of a sudden it is vastly improved. I thought there was no way there'd be a 6x improvement. I'm like, I was already having plenty of intervention free drives, at least until I got to the parking lot, you know, and starting off from my driveway with version 12. And it's already so smooth. I was like, how can it? I like, what I was actually expecting from version 13 was for it to be technically safer than version 12, but they might have lost the smoothness or something. You know what I mean? I thought that, because what we heard was Elon, was there was a big push towards safety. And I thought that was going to have some kind of negative effects, but I haven't been able to find a single one yet, at least so far.
Crazy. Sometimes, what's the saying? Sometimes days take years, and sometimes years take days. Yeah. Feels like we're about to enter that years take days phase. That's super exciting. JD, I know you got to go. You have a lot going on. Where can people find you online?
X AI driver with no E, and YouTube AI driver with no E. And I'll be restarting the video again right after we get out of this conversation. I'll release something for you guys. I know everybody's antsy, and I've been trying to get some of the clips that have happened during these drives out. But yeah, I gotta just call it like it is. I hate feeling defeated. I feel like my job is to tell people like what the actual status is and where we currently are, and show the good with the bad. And I only have good to show so far. And I guess I could just keep doing drives and delay my video further, but I gotta make it and call it what it is.
I think just getting it out there. I mean, listen, I think an AI driver video that is very low or missing in criticism is a gigantic milestone for the technology. You know, you're viewed as one of the most reliable, most neutral voices in this space. And if you aren't enabled to come up with something, then that probably means something. Right?
So yeah, I mean, there are some things. I'll talk about a couple of things that happened that, perfect, you know, wasn't a disengagement kind of a thing, but it's probably not what you want the car to do, especially for being a standard profile. I got to dial things a little bit back. Like, it did some things I expect out of hurry mode, but definitely not in standard. And, you know, I personally love it. I just let the car go. But I can guarantee you that would have been a disengagement for 90% of other people.
I feel like the people in New Jersey and New York are gonna love that style. I just came back from
area. For sure. Yeah, dense city driving. It's really, really, really good. What I think is going to be interesting is once it expands to other parts around where there's not a lot of Teslas being driven, because a lot of people saying, oh, you know, it's so good just because you're in California. And for all I know, that very well may be true. Maybe when it gets expanded to other areas, we do see some issues. But that's also, like, you kind of think about it, that also makes it more likely in my mind that they launch in these certain areas first, you know, where there's just a lot of Teslas driving around and they can prove that it's safer. Even if some other people are having problems in other parts of the country, doesn't mean they are going to stop driverless for it. They'll just only have it operating in the places where it works well. And, you know, so far in California, at least, I've brought it to all the places where it didn't work well before. And I haven't been able to break it.
Yeah. Crazy. Hans, did you want to throw something in before we let JD go?
I just wanted to thank JD for predicting that we were not going to get version 13 this year so that it could finally be delivered.
four for four. Yeah, hours later. Four for four on this. Yeah.
Keep it up. All right. Crazy. I can't wait to see the video.
Coming soon, hopefully. We'll see. I might try to go break it one more time today before I start, but we'll see. I'll get it out.
Give it a shot.
I'll get it out.
Love it. All right. I'm gonna end the recording.